Hey guys, this is Taste Masters with your hosts, David and Wyatt.
We have with us today Sean Smith. Master Sean Smith, brewmaster at Strap Tank Brewery. Sean, you're from Nebraska.
Yep.
I guess we'll just, jump in. Tell us about yourself. Sean,
Who's Sean?
Tell us about Sean.
Let's keep it to the brewing side. I'm from Nebraska. Born and raised there. I went to brewing school right after college out at UC Davis. But leading up to that, I grew up in a family that was kind of into wine and like having that with meals and stuff. So yeah. I always kind of liked flavors and things like that. A little before my 21st birthday, my brother kind of mentioned something about making beer one time, and I had no idea you could like do that even. So I got more interested in it, started looking more things up about it, and that's when I kind of learned about like Hefeweizens and German style beers.
Yeah.
And then like reading those are supposed to taste like bananas and cloves. I was like, that's crazy. So
that does.
So I got my hands on some of those and like fell in love with it. And
nice.
Then started homebrewing pretty soon after that.
You're still 21 when you started homebrewing.
Yeah, I actually homebrewed like on my day after my 21st birthday.
Nice, sweet.
So yeah, because I got all the stuff for my birthday, and then I was like, all right, it's on.
Cool.
So
that's cool. That's
yeah.
really cool.
Yeah, and then I just kept it up, and then I started taking more, like, brewing-specific classes in college,
because
I was doing wildlife biology. So I did more, like, all my electives were, like, microbiology or, chemistry classes and stuff like that, so I could learn more for brewing. I had, like, a year off and then went to UC Davis after that. And then after Davis, went to Nebraska Brewing Company, worked there for a year. And
it's Nebraska Brewing Company, like craft brewery, or is it like
production? Yeah, they're pretty well known for like their barrel-aged beers.
Oh, cool.
They do a lot of really good work. And then some of their other ones have won some pretty big awards, too.
Well, Sean, show us your first beverage. Yeah.
Well, I haven't had a 5% Budweiser since I left Nebraska, so I'm probably going to have one of those.
Let's go.
Budweiser, let's do it.
Love me some Bud Heavy.
Oh.
Just as good as I remember.
Yeah?
Really? Cheers.
Cheers, boys.
That is.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's honestly darker than I remember.
Really?
It's like, yeah.
I was going to say it's like, lighter than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I'm used to, Bud Light, and where that's like, just barely any color to it. And this has, it's like actually yellow.
Yeah. What are we tasting here, Sean? Rice mostly?
No,
yeah, break it down.
Like, very, very clean. Is the kind of, hallmark. Not a whole lot of flavor.
Yeah.
There's, a nice graininess to it, though.
Yeah.
It
doesn't linger at all.
No.
I drink it, and it's...
It finishes, boom,
yeah.
Fast.
I can see why people,
nice
can beer bong this shit.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's how you cleanse your palate, is with the
on
Bud
on a
Bud
scale of
beer
1 to 10, how crushable is this?
On the crushability scale?
Yeah.
I mean, this is about, probably, a 9.
Yeah.
I think 9 is... If you're saying... If we open a beer, and they're like... Break out the beer.
Well,
that's crushable.
That's crushable because you want to throw it back.
That's top tier crushable.
This is top shelf crushable.
Right.
Top shelf. I like that.
Yeah.
This isn't bad though.
No.
I mean, because I feel like lately I've been playing a lot of beer pong with Bud Light, and or Miller High Life. So.
Yeah.
This is different.
Life,
yeah. Well, I mean, it's a lot of people, give a lot of crap on these beers, these mass produced beers, saying they're easy to make. But, they're really not.
Yeah.
Very
I don't
difficult.
Think we can make that.
Yeah,
how
and
they
difficult? Actually, and they actually when they make Budweiser, so they make it a 7% beer first, in the tank, and then when they package it and filter it, they water it down to 5% to what they need.
Is that sparkling water?
It's called deaerated water, so there's no oxygen in it.
Gotcha.
So you don't get any stale flavors to it.
Yeah.
But
does it preserve the beer longer as well?
No, it's just kind of more efficient for their brew house, so that you can get. Maximum yield, and it's more cost efficient too.
Yeah.
Does Anheuser-Busch make this the 7% that before they water it down? Do they have that?
No, they don't sell it anywhere.
At all, period.
So,
I
went to the tour of the facility when I was in California. I got to try it off the tank, It's very good. Yeah. It was like unfiltered straight from the tank. Like 7%. That beer was awesome. Yeah.
So it's a like, simple Budweiser.
How would you would you be able to like recreate that beer?
I mean similar. Like
a 7% American lager?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely could. I think part of it's just, like, the setting, though, that made it taste so good, too. Because you're, like, just having it straight from the tank. Like, whenever you're in a brewery and, like, drinking a beer out the tank with someone that's actually, like, passionate about it, that always adds to it.
Did you meet, like, the brewmaster of Budweiser?
No, it was just, like, some guy that worked there. Yeah, well, I forget who it was exactly, but, yeah, I mean, some of our instructors, like, you know, worked for Budweiser and stuff, so they knew. Near the ends.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's crushable. 9.
From Sean himself. Crushability skill. I'm going to write that down.
Maybe an 8. I don't know.
Maybe an 8? Oh.
Because you got to think, like, lighter. There's beers even lighter than this, though. So those are,
I mean, light isn't
necessarily this, crushable. This has a little bit more flavor, too, which is nice.
Right.
I mean, that adds
to the crushability. I think I could drink more of this than I could. Bud Light.
Mm-hmm. But is that because you enjoy this one?
Cause actually, that's funny. Actually, yeah, I really like Budweiser, but I hate Bud Light.
Wow.
Bud Light's terrible.
On the note of Bud Light, what you brought a light beer that you brewed yourself.
We had Light, yeah.
What and that's similar. More like a Bud Light.
Yeah. Yep.
But you're telling me it's Bud Light how it should be tasted, how it should taste like. It's crisp. It's clean.
Well, I mean, everyone has their favorites, but yeah, it's a little different.
Shall we taste the Lehigh Light?
I'd love to, but I don't want, I mean.
Yeah, so the difference with it is there's a little bit more corn in it. So Bud Light just has rice.
Corn.
So I use more corn. I like that. I like corn a little bit better.
Why is that?
It adds, like, to me a little bit more creaminess in the mouth. It's a little bit cleaner.
So like flaked corn? Or?
Yeah, flaked.
Gotcha.
Yep. And you use that over rice or with rice?
I use both in it, but.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And that's what you use in the Lehigh Light,
yeah.
Which comes from Strap Tank Brewery,
yeah.
Which is basically all your beers,
yeah.
Right?
All mine.
That's awesome. I mean, your craft beers for the brewery, the only brewery south of Salt Lake, as far as I know, for the mountain. Well, except for now, there's one in the, what do you call it, St. George area.
Well, Zion, they've been there for a few years.
Silver Reef is in St. George now, too.
Oh, there's a new one in St. George.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. And then Policy Kings in Cedar City, I think.
Wow. Beer's growing everywhere.
But in Utah County, as far as we know.
Yeah, because Utah County, yep. And there's one, I think, trying to open an American Fork right now, too.
Is it American Fork or Spanish Fork?
Spanish Fork.
Yeah. It's one of the forks. Like, what is it, like Maple Mountain Brewery or something?
It's a different one. There's one I just found out about it, like, last week.
Oh,
nice. Yeah.
Speaking of, this Lehigh Light is fantastic. I get what you're saying. It seems to have almost a more full body than the Bud Heavy does, but it's, like, crisp still?
Yeah, I mean, it's the body's definitely, like, a lot. There's, no body to it.
Can I say, like, crackery? Is that wrong?
Yeah, crackery is good, yeah.
Cracker? It tastes like a cracker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, like, some slight malt to it. Is this Lehigh Light?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
It's nice. It's super light compared to...
I had it in a while.
Bud Light.
It's like a, I mean, just like straight on the nose too. It's like the malt, like base malt we're using. It's all Idaho grown. It's like really grassy, cool. Too.
Yeah, I can see
like
that.
There's like a green character to it. And then, yeah, it's just got a clean finish with kind of that grassy crackery flavor, and like that's it, and it just like ends immediately.
Yeah, super sharp cutoff.
So.
As well,
it's like definitely more crisp,
but it has a full mouthfeel.
Yeah, well, it seems
it lights it up. I think,
big, and then it just like
then ends immediately.
Yeah,
it's like a shooting
like,
star.
It's like not round and soft like some things can be, but there's definitely some flavor there.
I do like it.
Good.
Clean's a great word to describe that.
Yeah,
I like mine with this little bit of lime.
Yeah, I can see that.
The lime tartness is
that seems. I feel like I'm noticing a pattern here.
Yeah.
Light lagers and limes?
Yeah, like Pacificos.
Uh-huh.
I love Pacificos with lime, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we talked about that last time. So, Sean, what was your first drink?
Like beer?
Ever.
Drink? Across the board. What was your first drink?
I think it was probably like a sip of beer or something, like a Keystone Light or something.
Keystone.
Like,
nice.
Yeah.
Were you 21 or were you...
No, I mean, that was like when I was a little kid, my dad was just like, oh, sip of that. I was like, oh, it tastes like terrible. Because I was a kid. Like, it tastes really bad. So, no, I didn't really drink underage at all. No.
Nice.
Like, if I ask people to buy me alcohol, it was like bottles of wine, and they're like, where do I get that? So, yeah, that or like Hefeweizens or stuff like that. Yeah.
You said your family was wine drinkers.
Yeah.
So did you ever have it at the dinner table?
Yeah, I had those, but it's like I just remember them talking about it, and like I like that aspect of it, and I still really like wine. Yeah. But like, I guess being young and like untrained, like, you know, having a glass of wine, didn't really appreciate it or like know what I was tasting. So.
Like you started.
Like the whole idea of it, I found like. Attractive, but
because you want to know what you're consuming, what you have in front of you. It's not just something to put in front of you. There's a reason for it.
Yeah,
I like that.
There's supposed to be more flavor to it and like enhance something else. So.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I mean, you started like expanding your palate as like young.
It helped too. Like trying to homebrew and then like learning about it and then wanting to learn more. So I was always trying to get more beer. To drink. Like in college, I was just always trying to find new stuff and going to all the breweries.
Yeah.
So
new craft beers to put the beer ball on. Philly.
Yeah. It's definitely been a Sam Adams or two in a beer ball.
But what was your goal to? I mean, I know you're fascinated with crafting and bringing out profiles and whatnot. But why do you continue to do it? What's are you trying to find something? You're trying to find the perfect. You know, beer, trying to find the perfect beverage.
No, because, like, I mean, at this point, I already know what I like. Mm-hmm. There's very few times now where I'm, like, try something and I'm kind of surprised by it. But, I don't know, it just makes sense, I guess, to do. And I don't, like, hate it. So.
Yeah, you're passionate about it. Obviously, we see I'm passionate behind it. And we're attracted to that passion.
Yeah,
we
think it's cool.
We would love to be like Sean, but honestly.
Yeah,
and I still feel like there's still, you know, like bits of history of things that I learn about. I'm like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Or like some small parameter that I change on a recipe. And I'm like, well, let's do later on. We'll see.
Right.
But you can get, like, add more complex flavors with those things.
Absolutely. No, but back to what I was, because now that I'm drinking the Budweiser, back to what we were saying just barely, I can taste the difference, the similarity as well. So I like it. Lehigh Light's a good one. Well done, Sean.
Yeah.
I approve of your brew lager.
Golf
brew lager.
Yes, yes. Because you make this beer, the Lehigh Light, do you necessarily prefer it, or are you very critical on your beer if you compare it to like a Budweiser?
I mean, yeah, I get pretty critical on it, I'd say.
But I think it's like amazing, though.
But yeah, as long as – I mean, that's why – I mean, that's why it's a fun challenge is because if there's any mistake in any of the processes, like – you'll taste it.
Gotcha.
So,
but for sure, you'll taste it.
Dark.
No.
Too.
Yeah, but I mean, even I think most people would. So, like, if your pH is wrong or anything like that, or too many salts of one kind.
It
or,
is a nice fine line to.
Yeah.
You could screw up easily
on
that.
That's. I think that's why lagers are so attractive right now, is because that's kind of like, it's all process. Like everyone can have the same ingredients, but everyone has the same ingredients for everything, but. With lagers, there's like this level of I don't know the word, but it's gone.
So what you're opening?
PBR, baby.
The old PBR.
This is my favorite light beer. Very crushable. Crushed many of these myself. PBR is my favorite. You know what?
That's my favorite.
This really really old guy told me when I was like 21. First time I bought a beer, I bought a PBR at midnight the night I turned. 21.
Nice.
First time I legally bought a beer, I should say. Bought a PBR, and the old guy behind the counter, he had to be like 70. He was like, the reason you never see ads for PBRs is because they put all their money into ingredients. That's why PBR is the best cheap beer. It's cheapest, and it's the best. And I was like, fuck, that's what I'm drinking from now on.
That's a funny story with PBR, though. They actually don't even have their own brewery. They Miller Coolers have been brewing it for them for forever. Yeah.
Wow, I had no idea.
It's just contract brewed.
PBR in comparison to Lehigh Light felt very full. PBR, I feel like it just like collapses. Like I expected it to be really full. Like Lehigh Light is like a water balloon. Like it's so full. You know what I mean? Like it just feels like round and full, and then it like slides off your tongue and it's gone. This is like a water balloon that like popped across my tongue. It's a weird analogy. Kind of gross to think about. But like...
It like lights your tongue up
so,
a little bit.
It's so flat, it's carbonated, but it just
yeah, there's
falls.
Just not as much flavor to it.
Ah, that corn.
Which I don't know what PBR uses, but I'm sure it's probably some sort of adjunct.
It lingers like the Budweiser, but it finishes fast like the Lehigh Light.
Yeah, there's something weird that lingers on my tongue with it as well. So, I'm not entirely sure what it is, but it's interesting. It's like a, it's like I'm chewing on a malt, like a grain. You know what I'm saying? Like when you brew, you've got like bags of barley, and you like pull them out and snack on them. That's what that tastes like. That's what that lingering finish kind of tastes like. Is like a very base cereal. That's what it just stays on my tongue for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. And yeah, this one's probably not the best example because all the flavors are definitely muted.
They are. It is quite old.
I'm
trying to pick something out.
Yeah.
I can't.
How old is this? Your expiration date? I had no idea. I thought I could just keep a
beer. Yeah, I don't know what they put on. It's probably 6 months, I want to say.
So you're telling me I'm drinking expired beer?
Yeah.
And that's why it tastes shittier than usual.
Am I going to get like Giardia or something because I'm drinking expired beer?
No, it just tastes bad.
Oh.
Okay, so it's not just me. It is bad. It just.
Well, I mean, I would still drink this camping or something.
So that's good. That's my go-to baseball and camping beer.
Well, that's why I like it too. Is I mean, it has like the flavor of a light beer, but it doesn't finish, I guess, like that. Where like the Bud Light and all the other light beers are kind of aggressive on their finish.
Just
this one's not
crispy
as bad. Yeah.
So once you turned 21, Sean, did you get crazy with the beer? Did you just, I got to find the best tasting beer? Like, yeah, what was your goal in finding the best craft beer or the best beer in general? So I can see your man's not going to waste your time on, you know.
Like, why did you like beer so much?
Well, I guess also what I didn't mention earlier too. I went to culinary school for a little bit, my sophomore year of college. And the only reason I didn't follow through with that is I didn't want to work crappy hours. So I always love flavors.
Tell me about it.
And that's kind of why beer was so attractive, is because it makes kind of like that cooking aspect where you can just combine things for your vision, and then you get an end product that is like representative of you, I guess.
Yeah.
So I was just trying everything I could. And yeah, just trying to find something that tastes good, and I mean that's still like a never-ending search, really. Like you have your go-tos,
right?
I mean, it's always fun to try new things.
Do you have a favorite beer?
I'm curious.
Yeah, that's always tough because like,
is it always changing, or is it like
a seasonal thing? It depends on.
It's like asking your favorite song.
It's all situational, and like I just like pigeonholing myself into like one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely, if I had to pick like a style, I definitely would say like Belgian beers are the most interesting to me.
Like funk.
Like no, I mean because they got like the lambics, they got Abbey ales, saisons, whip beers. Like there's just so much variety in Belgium.
And did it blow your mind when you visited? You went to Germany, right?
Yeah, I went to Germany and Belgium. Yeah.
And going there, did it blow your palate even more, blow your mind more? Did you just find more appreciation?
That just, like, cemented the fact that...
That's awesome.
...that Belgium is...
do you think that they know what they're doing?
Yeah, but, I mean, they've been doing it for quite a while. Same with Germany, too. So, like, I love lagers, too, but...
Right.
Yeah, I think, like, the most sexy beers are Belgian beers.
Belgian beers.
Yeah.
Beautiful. We're going to get on that bandwagon. Down. Start that.
Yeah.
I haven't tried very many Belgian beers.
I mean.
That's right. They have great shelf life, too. So they're
really?
Not good
better than a PBR?
Way better, yeah. Those are good.
So you would say Belgians are your favorite beers? If you could drink any beer right now, right this second, what would it be? Would it be the rest of this Budweiser?
Because we're in December right now. It's cold-ish. Light sweater weather.
Yeah.
So what are you feeling, Sean? What was the... You going home right now? What are you drinking?
I haven't had like a really good IPA in a while, so I'd like if I could get my hands on like a fresh Odell IPA.
Yeah.
I would be pretty happy if I could find that. But I haven't had one of those in a while. It's kind of weird because I once moved to Utah, I just kind of stopped drinking IPA because they're just
haven't figured it out.
They're just no, not that, and like I mean this whole storage thing.
Yeah.
They just age terribly. So, and like, I'm to the point now where I can probably pick out if it's like 3 weeks old and it's just
really
not as good.
Wow. I like that. I would like to be able to do that at a level like that.
I feel like it's a blessing and a curse.
You say that.
Right.
And then you just don't I can drink a lot of beer and enjoy it. I feel like Sean is very limited in the amount of beer.
But at the same time, it's not going to waste his time. You're not going to waste your time with shitty beer, with low-quality beer. You're actually going to be someone who I want to enjoy my moment, my sitting with the best kind of beer.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I like that. So, because your knowledge, it may be a curse, but I think it's more of a blessing just because of that. Like, I know exactly what I want right this second. I'm going camping next weekend, going up to Uintas. I know what I'm bringing, period.
PBR.
Oh my god. Stop with the PBR.
So Budweiser, original Budweiser is brewed at 7% and then they add deoxygenated water. I said that right.
Deaerated water.
You work at Strauch Tank Brewery. Could you brew an IPA at 7%? And then you're like, I'm going to add some deaerated water
make
it a session so it's legal to serve on tap, but then you have a tank full of 7% that you can just, like, whatever you want. You
or even bottle. Off.
Yeah.
Can you bottle at 7%?
Our IPA is 7%.
Right. Yep. So why can you do that?
We don't have the right equipment for deaerated water.
Bummer.
So there's some breweries in town that have that, though.
Really?
So, yeah. In my past life, we had one. So,
okay.
And that was just to make sure everything was in spec. So,
that's cool.
We had to like touch up with a little bit of water, then we could.
Does that bother you that the equipment you have, like, I don't know what to say, but lacks what you would like to do?
No, I have everything that I really need right now. So,
good.
Yeah.
So you're happy where you're at then?
Yeah.
Typically. Mm-hmm. Good.
So in my research, in the past couple of days, I've been reading about beers in America. We all already knew this, but the majority of beers are light, pale lagers with, like, little to no hops. So, like, pretty bland beers. Why? Why is that a thing? Why not? You know, like, you want an IPA right now. Why isn't it, like, IPAs? Why isn't it, stouts?
Porter sours.
Yeah, sours or porters. Why isn't it Belgium's?
Yeah.
Why
is America?
So we'll first start off, but the most popular beer style worldwide is Pilsner. So like it's not just U.S. It's everywhere.
In my reading today, I came across something that said like Pilsner wasn't an established style until I want to say 1842.
1842 is when allegedly it started, but the technology was in place before that, so it probably was. But like the first one was 1842. Gotcha. Yeah.
And it was in the United States, so it was.
No, it was in Pilsen.
Okay, Pilsners. Most popular style of beer worldwide. Why?
It's tough to say one reason, but I guess Pilsner, like a real Pilsner, should be like really, like pretty hoppy.
Really?
Like a good level of bitterness, like really floral aroma.
No bitterness to that.
Yeah. So that's, because like I think even Miller Lite calls it a Pilsner maybe. I'm not sure though. I had to double check that, but
I know one of them calls themselves a Pilsner, but I don't remember which one.
So there's some miscommunication on like what that actually is, but it's still like
you're right. Miller Lite, fine Pilsner. That's right.
Yeah.
That's
is it a fine Pilsner?
I don't know.
Odds or evens? Scale of 1 to 10. Should a Pilsner be crushable? On the crushability scale, where should a Pilsner?
It should be pretty drinkable.
Like a 9. So,
I don't know. It's tough to say. They're just good beers,
Cool.
Why they're so popular? I think it's probably has to do that they're like a pale looking drink, so like that's pretty accessible to people. Like it doesn't look scary, and a lot of them that are made now too don't have a lot of flavor to them, which is also good for people, and they're really thirst quenching, so kind of checks all the boxes for. For what someone would want to drink, and like they're not super offensive. There's
more
not a lot of flavor. Yeah,
it's
like a lot of people aren't going to go buy a can, pour it in their little tulip glass, and like smell it and drink it.
Yeah,
a lot of people just want to come home, crack open a beer, sit down, drink
and throw it back.
Yeah,
I see that.
And it takes the quality out of the beer.
Well, you still have to have high quality to do that.
Yeah.
Is a thing. Cause like if
you can't make an easy beer with shitty stuff. If you make a beer with shitty stuff, you're going to have shitty beer, right?
Yeah, and that's like, I mean, some people would notice if it was bad, if it tasted bad. Like if things tasted bad, it wouldn't catch on so much.
Right. So, I mean, like, so, they're good at what they do, which is making essentially, like, very flavorless beer.
Yeah.
It was, like, very refreshing beer.
It's a high level of, like, technical skill that you need to do that.
You were talking about making a Helles pretty recently. What's the difference between, like, a Pilsner and a Helles?
So, Helles was Germany's response to Pilsner at that time.
Gotcha.
Because at that time, a lot of the German lagers were darker.
Where's Pilsen?
It's in Czech Republic.
Gosh, it's Pilsner.
Yeah, so the thing, too, they have, like, really soft water there. So there's not a lot of mineral content, which that can affect bitterness. So that's why they can throw so many hops in there, and it's still
still crushable.
But it's not really that bitter, but there's a lot of hop flavor.
Gotcha.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So Germany, in Germany and Munich. So Munich Helles is where it came from. They have like, pretty hard water, so they can't necessarily load up the same amount of hops as what Pilsen was doing. So their answer was a Helles, which is more malt forward and less hops. So it's still really light, but it's not as malty as, like a stout or something like that.
Yeah.
It's still really light, but it has more of those like toasty characteristics, like biscuity.
Yeah. What's a good example of like a Pilsner that I could go to the gas station and pick up?
We just got it recently, but Pilsner Urquell. That's the classic Pilsner.
Pilsner Urquell. And what's like is there an example of a Helles that I can pick up? Like Germany's?
Not
I can't really get some around here.
That I've seen here, no. Really? But they're all, like under 5%, so we should hopefully have them somewhere. But
are you waiting for a company to come out with like a good Helles?
I mean, not necessarily.
Like if there was a good Helles on the market, would you drink that more often?
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you think if you were to craft one, it'd get a good response, positive response?
We're in a weird market, too. I mean, they're anywhere that you go. They don't sell because they're not sexy.
Right.
It's like every time I've made a pale lager at Strap Tank, it does not sell, like, at all. It's like I made a Czech pale lager about this time last year. I just made, like, I call it a Session Fest beer because of our draft law restrictions. That's not really selling great, but I was, really happy with the way it turned out.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people are trying to make them because there's not a lot of money to be had with it.
Right.
Gotcha.
Because it's not sexy, like you said.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Yeah. You don't make something if the market's not there.
Helles sounds more sexy than Pilsner to me. What's the difference between what we're drinking right now? Because, like, I guess the biggest thing I want to know is, like, there are so many beers available, and, like, some claim to be a fine Pilsner. I don't know what Budweiser claims to be.
King of beer.
The king of beer. But does it claim to be like an American lager? Is it a light lager? What?
I think they call it an American lager.
It just says lager beer.
Yeah. But yeah, it's...
What makes a lager beer a lager beer? As opposed to, a different beer? Like, could all beer be a lager beer? Like, what's the difference?
It's a
very broad question.
Yeah, it's just the yeast mostly.
Gotcha.
So lager yeast doesn't give off a lot of different flavors. You ferment it colder, it takes a little bit longer. And then the only other kind of yeast that we use is ale. So those are quicker, like faster turnaround, and they can give you more flavors.
What's the difference in flavor from like an ale to a lager? Like if I were to buy Like, if Budweiser, instead of saying lager beer, it said ale beer, what would I be expecting?
It's something that's probably not going to be as clean, or as crisp, too, I would say. And then, some of the compounds that ale yeast throw off, they can emphasize malt or hops, depending on the compounds. And then there's, like, the German strains or Belgian strains that can throw off, like, those fruity flavors like banana, like apple, bubblegum, cloves, stuff like that. Like, you'll never get that from lager. Lager essentially just shows off the ingredients in the beer, whereas ale can also do that, but it can enhance those things or, like, cover them up even.
Create
their own flavors.
have like the wrong pH in the mash and you use a certain type of ale yeast, could it cover that off flavor up potentially?
I mean, it's still going to be there, but it's going to do a better job than lager would.
Interesting. So, like, to brew with a lager, you have to do a better job.
Yeah, like, your process has to be right on.
On point.
Like, every time, yeah.
That's cool. And you brew a lot of lagers. I mean, half the beers at Strap Tank are lagers right now, right?
Yeah. So, that's, yeah, it's appealing and, like...
It's impressive.
Yeah. And, then, like, be able to put that out, it's just, like, you feel really exposed doing that. Because it's like, oh, if there's any flaws, like, it's going to come back to me.
So, John, I guess, are you proud of your craft right now?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it.
Good. I mean, that's important. I mean, if you're going on a mission, you feel like it's still growing. I can understand that you're always learning. You're always challenging yourself. What's the next challenge? What's the next Sean's goal?
I don't know. It's tough to say, really. I just want to keep making lagers, really.
Keep making lagers.
Maybe mess around with some, like, funky sour beers and some used barrels, but nothing too crazy.
Is there any, can we get like any secret plans you're going through? Like some of the secret beers you're just like you're wanting to work on, but you just can't?
No, I mean, the only other thing that I find really interesting is spontaneous fermentation.
Cool word anyway.
Yeah. Like it.
What's spontaneous fermentation?
But yeah, spontaneous fermentation. So that's like the Belgian tradition of having what's called a cool ship, which is just like a wide open tray, essentially, that you, after you're done boiling, you pump it in there and let it sit and cool down. So it's just open to the environment.
It's like a big-ass cookie sheet.
Yeah, like, you gotta get the dimensions just right, so the cooling rate is where you need it to be, so you don't get, like, too many of the bad things and more of the good things. So then everything that makes the beer is in the air.
Wow.
So you can pick up flavors, that's whatever's in the air.
No, not flavor, like, the microorganisms. Yeah. So, like, you get your souring bacteria, your yeast, everything in the air.
Nice.
And then put that into, like, barrels, ideally. Or, I mean, you can do it other ways, too, but...
Each barrel would probably be a little bit different, then.
Yeah, so, and then at that point, then it turns, like, into kind of, like, wine and, like, blending.
Gotcha. Interesting.
So that's cool.
That'd be really fun, I think.
And is that something you're really looking into getting into?
Not really, because, like, it's really expensive.
I
like,
imagine the facilities like to set that up.
The startup is,
it's
like, you know...
At Strap Tank, you brew it 15 barrels.
Yeah.
And each barrel is 31 gallons.
Yeah, so it's...
So, I mean, like math off the top of my head, 3 liter beers deep, I'm not entirely sure what that is. It's like,
For 15, 45. It's like 465 or something.
Gotcha.
Around there. Yeah.
It's a lot of gallons of beer.
Yeah.
You need a big cookie sheet.
Yeah, no, I mean, they make them. Like, there's companies that especially make them now, so...
I believe
it's become more popular.
Where would you fit that?
Well, that's the thing. You have to... Well, you have to have it in, like, a... And, like, ideally in its own room with, like, vents to the outside. And you can only do it certain times of the year, too. So, like, it has to be, like, between 30 to 40 degrees.
That's what Belgian beers. Like, that's how you make Belgian beer.
Yeah, so, well, like, in the lambic style.
Gotcha.
Which is very interesting. But they only have a certain time of the brewing season. So it's, like, spring and fall. So sometimes they can actually brew.
That's cool.
That's when it's cold enough.
That's really cool.
It.
Yeah. Interesting.
Better than just, you know, buying lager tanks and keep riding that train.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
why not? It's working for you now.
Right. Making good beer.
Yeah, you are making good beer.
What's the difference between, like, an American lager and a Mexican lager? I see, like, you know.
Yeah, it's always...
We had a Pacifico.
Yeah, so I love
cervezas.
Cervezas are delicious.
Yeah, so they've kind of morphed
I
into...
Cerveza multi-pack.
Oh, yeah,
like
I'm getting
four
that.
Different beers
absolutely.
In the same.
Yeah, I think they've kind of morphed kind of over time, like Mexican lagers. I don't know exactly like what currently would constitute that other than being made in Mexico, but there are a lot of German immigrants. I forget even the time, like maybe in the 1800s or so, or
yeah.
It would be like the 1860s. I think that's when like, there's a mass immigration from Germany. But
like Germany was at war with Denmark or something, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I just know there was some like political unrest. But anyways, they went to Mexico. So a lot of Mexican beers now are like descendants of German styles.
German immigrants.
So like dark Mexican lagers are like Munich Dunkels. Ambers
cool.
are Vienna lagers.
What's a good dark Mexican beer? Like I can think
of Negra Modelo.
Those Modelos
are
stupid.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
I like Bohemias
took,
too.
Yeah, I guess they've been using like a different yeast strain or like different lager strain too now. Like,
really?
Yeah, and then so the American lagers. Now, like, there's a pre, like, in a time before Prohibition, that, you know, we were brewing all malt beers, like, no corn or rice, because we also had, you know, German influences.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're a lot more malty.
Germans don't brew with anything but malt. Yeah. But what about, like, a Hefeweizen?
There's wheat in there, too, yeah. Gotcha. But, I mean, it's still a wheat malt, but yeah, so now they have, like, usually corn and rice in there, too, for American lagers.
Gotcha. What's... Malt.
Like, malt is barley. Well, I guess it's, yeah, it's wheat and seed. It's a lot of things. You can malt a lot of things. So the process of malting is you take the seed of whatever plant you're trying to brew with, and then you soak it in water for a little bit, let it start to germinate. And then it's like there's a certain amount of time you do that for. And then as soon as it starts germinating, you take it out and then expose it to heat to kiln it. So that helps kind of like make it softer. And break it down, gives us our color and our roasty flavors.
Cool.
And then you get lots of different things that way. And then after that, it's, you know, ready to brew with.
Beer goes so deep.
It really does.
I thought I knew a fair
it's chemistry.
Amount, but like the more,
like I should have focused more on chemistry in my life. You know, yeah, this is well, chemistry.
That's as fun chemistry. As everything. It's you know, biology, chemistry, and physics.
Absolutely.
It's all that. So.
But I love how you get it. To you, it makes like, yeah, this is what happens. And now, when you're explaining it to us, it's like, yeah, we get it. We get why certain beers are tasting a certain way or they look a certain way. It's making sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean, thanks for giving us your time today. I mean, that's, I could sit here and listen to you for hours. I don't know about you why, but
right.
Probably the same boat.
Right. I need to write down some questions.
Is there anything you would like us to do for you in the future of our beer drinking and
right.
consuming?
Anything you want to finish
yeah.
on?
Something.
If that needs to be said.
Just drink, you know, fresh, cold beer.
Fresh, cold
well,
beer.
Well, it's stored cold.
Fresh,
that's
cold
cute.
Beer.
But fresh is the most important.
Gotcha. Fresh.
Yeah.
Freshness.
Just drink fresh beer.
Fresh beer.
Cool.
We'll take
drink
it.
Drink fresh beer.
Thanks, Sean.
Yeah,
we'll catch you next time.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. This has been David and Wyatt on the Tastemasters.